Welcome to Ever Beyond, on Wolf Spirit Radio, everbeyondradio.com, Tiernasau from Ireland, Scottish Sovereigns on the Land.ning.com. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. It's the 29th of March, 2015. It is 1500 PST. And here in Scotland, it's finally, it's back to 11 o'clock PM. So I'd like to welcome all my regular UK listeners at the regular appointed time of 11 PM, right around midnight. Cozily enshrouding midnight with its own brand of strangeness and beyond. Anyway, yeah, it's actually a few weeks ago, somebody typed in a something into the thing, and when she said beyond, she said beyond. And I thought, it's come round after 4 years of playing that jingle. Somebody's caught onto it. Anyway, let me see. Are there any announcements? Yeah, we're going to have some really cool new hosts coming onto Wolf Spirit Radio soon. We're going to get the email situation working again, and we'll send you out weekly, if not daily. I don't know about daily, but we'll certainly send you out weekly announcements of upcoming shows and stuff like that. Kind of getting the boat back on the road, back on the water, she's almost seaworthy. We're getting a crew and a compliment together, so thank you for everybody who's taking part in this. You know, I didn't realize how long it would take. It's taking a lot more than just a few months. It's because we're kind of having to look at ourselves and question what we want and all that stuff. So, it's all good. And so, more good stuff. Tonight, my guest is from a paranormal investigation realm. Let's put it that way. I have various kinds of guests on my shows, and it's been a while since I've had a paranormal, because you see, the thing is, we live in a paranormal world these days, and you know, so the idea of somebody investigating it is like, I'll just look out the window, or I'll just sit in my room and wait for something to happen. The veil is thin these days, my friends. So to that end, thinly emerging from behind his thin veil, Bill Amels, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, JP. It's around 6 o'clock here in Havel, Mass. So.
Mass! You're on Mass, are you? Massachusetts, for those people in the UK who don't know the jargon terms of American... we're two people separated by one language, as Oscar Wilde says. It's like, you say, what do you say? We say trousers, you say pants. We say pants, you say underwear. We say hood, you say trunk. We say bonnet, you say... No, we say bonnet, you say hood. We say trunk, we say boot, you say trunk. You know, it's just really confusing. And I think it was deliberate so that we can't communicate with each other. So from now on, I will attempt to speak American as much as I can, and I'll try and say flavor and color instead of flavor and color. Bless your heart. So where do you want to start? I mean, I always like to ask people who come on the show, where did you get into it? I mean... I speak to a lot of psychics and mediums and all that stuff, who were always into this, but paranormal is not. This is something that you have to kind of in some way, well, you fall into it or it falls on you. So everybody's got their story. So where does yours start, Bill?
Well, mine doesn't start with seeing an apparition or something like that when I was young. I mean, a lot of them come out and say that they saw an apparition or something.
That's right.
Like 5 years old, six, something like that. Many say that, not me. All right, I started 9 years ago, and I got interested in it because not even before I saw the shows because of my science background. And I met my friend Tom, who runs Essex County Ghost Hunters. He's the founder of it. And I'm the tech director of Essex County Ghost Hunters in Avon, Mass. So, from there, well, before I actually got on his team, I was on other two teams. Okay? And then, like, the last, maybe 6 years ago, I got on his team. But I've been a paranormal investigator for the last 9 years, actually. And, I never come across anything demonic. Okay? The only one that was really haunted was the our place in Lynn, Mass. Now these two sisters were fooling around with a Ouija board, and they were trying to contact their aunt, who passed away a few months before. And what happened was they brought some kind of entity in their house. All right, so they asked my friend Bubba, who lives in Maine, to come down and investigate it, and he contacted me and asked me to help him out on the case. So I went down there. Okay. Now what was happening in the house is, one of the sisters, they have a brother too. He walked in probably around 8 o'clock Thursday night. And all of a sudden he saw the faucet go on and off. He heard the glass break. He saw the fan in the living room go on by itself. Okay. Now he wouldn't come back there to sleep. I came Friday night and he came in. But he was scared of that place, so he left and stayed with his friend down the street. He didn't want to stay in that house because he was frightened. And we set up cameras and everything like that. And then, Saturday night, we're all sitting down in the living room, seven of us, and all of a sudden we hear something getting thrown down the stairs, like a ball or something, and you could hear it go ting, 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 ting. We went and investigated and looked, there was nothing there. So whatever's in the house, these girls brought in. They wanted, whatever it was, wanted our attention. And, of course, they got it right away. But, anyways, I don't know if you got anything on this DVR. It's like a recording thing. It has infrared cameras, and they can record. Because he never told me. This was private between him and the mother. So whatever he found in the house, I don't know if he found anything on the camera or not. But he didn't tell me what it was, because it was, you know, he signed a contract saying he wouldn't divulge anything. Anyways, the mother and the daughters and the son, they all moved out 6 months later out of Lynn. I mean, out of the house in Lynn, Mass. I don't know where they ended up, but they didn't like that house at all. Because ever since they used the Ouija board, you know, it's not the Ouija board itself, it's the girls trying to communicate with someone in the house. Because there was a movie out called Ouija Board too. I don't know if it was in England or not, but it was based on that. And the guy who investigates the Ouija board, he was part of the film as a consultant. So,
what was the name of the film? Look at them. I got that. What was the name of the film?
Ouija board.
All right, Ouija board. Oh no. Well, it's not one that I've come across, but I don't watch much. But see if anybody else is all will come in.
Oh, you heard the. You heard of the Conjuring, right?
The Conjurer?
The Conjuring. There's a movie called The Conjuring.
No, I haven't either. So,
you haven't heard of that?
So, so there's, you know, this is a genre, you know, and it's probably, you know, is it like an art house sort of level of film genre, or is it the sort of thing that goes around past in small groups, or is it like a... I mean, because most of the time you get a paranormal movie, it's a horror movie. It's supposed to make things scary. It's got that's rubbish, isn't it? You know.
Yes. They hype it up, of course. They have to make it exciting, the stuff for the audience. Music, you know, because you only really get that in real life. But they do hype it up. to make it scary, more scary than what it really is.
You don't get those high-pitched squealing violins all the time, do you? The only one they do is that the violins rising slowly in a glissando when you know that things are just going a bit strange.
You get sounds like breaking glass, something like that, you know, to jive your nerves, you know, and make you jump, stuff like that. But anyways, The Conjuring was based on a true story in Providence of Andrea Perrin and her family. It was five sisters and a mother and father. They moved into a house that was haunted. And, of course, they brought the Warrens in. Lorraine and Ed Warren, they were demonologists back in the 50s they started. And they go in and investigate what's going on in there. Evidently, it was a witch in there, and she killed a child or something, and she condemned because they're going to kill her, so she condemned everybody in there. So it's like her spirit inside the house that's causing all the trouble. Of course, they hyped that up too, but it was kind of good. I liked it. It was, you know, entertainment. But as far as the real world. Of course, not everything goes on in what you saw in the movie. You know, some things, like the daughter said that the mother got picked up in the air and thrown across the room. You don't see that, of course. But you do see her in the cellar get picked up in the air and dropped down in the chair. And she was tied up, like. So, other than that, you know, the hype. Another movie was, let's see, you got The Conjuring. Yeah, there's another one. I can't think of the other one.
So, I mean, well, let me just sort of lay things out from my perspective. In my experience, and it's only been like 3 years, and I wouldn't say that I was exactly a paranormal investigator. I would say that I'm a paranormal experiencer. This has all happened since... Actually, it started happening a while before I moved into this house. But, you know, we're all on a kind of ascension path and the veil is thinning and I'm talking to my guides and all the stuff. And then I've got a very good communication with my spirit guides. I do it by what they call automatic writing. But it's a good connection, and I've even now started publishing some of the things that they told me 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. All these things that are coming out in reality now in the mainstream. Right. So I thought, it's worth publishing them a bit. But the thing is, this is when I moved into this cottage, I felt a presence. I felt weirdness. I saw eyes. I saw, like, you know, two pine wood knots. You know, there's a lot of pine wood. Knots in it make eyes. And when I start seeing eyes, I think, there's some. So I asked them, and this is about 2012 now. I asked them, you know, what's going on? And they said, I said, what's going on? Is there a ghost in this house? And they said, yeah, there are four. Not just one, but four. So they showed me how to deal with them, I counsel ghosts. This is the weird thing. I counsel them, and it's very easy, actually, because by the time they get to here, after several hundred years of being stuck in an emotion, the emotion is like a very fine crystallized shell around them. You know, a bit like when salt rises to the surface on a packet, and the salt, so it's a very fine surface, and it's incredibly brittle. And all it takes, actually, is for the entity, the person, the being who is still stuck there, to realize that they're dead, they're stuck in a feeling, and they need to just let go of the feeling by forgiveness. And I basically counsel ghosts. It's like ghost whispering. But
let me explain about the experience.
Go ahead.
Now, that's anybody that experiences something like that is good for them. But others, you know, are they going to believe you or not? You don't really know. No. Without proof. That's where the paranormal investigator, he's trying to get something on camera. He's trying to get something on the voice recorder. You know, something like that for proof, not just my word. You know what I mean? Or a psychic, or a medium, or something like that. That's fine to back you up. You know, if you you know this little boy's in the corner there. I catch it on film. All right, so the medium's correct. There it is. Now, if I don't catch anything on it, and she says something's in the corner, you know, you can't believe there's somebody there because you can't see anything.
Absolutely.
Or hear or anything like that. So, you can't see it or hear it. You don't catch it on camera or on a voice recorder. You know, nothing's really there. Well, nothing proof anyways. Maybe there is something there, but you don't have any proof there is.
Apart from a sense of gloom. And that's the thing that people noticed in this house. In fact, somebody beforehand had come in. Like the previous tenant had a person who came around and said, I think this place is haunted. Could you clear it? And this person did their like fairy dust and whatever she was supposed to be doing, but obviously it didn't shift these fellows because they needed counseling. You can't just sweep these people away. They're people. They're a person who is trapped.
JP, did you go check the libraries and stuff like that? See who lived in the house way back or whatever. Far as you can go?
No, but primarily because my situation was I wanted to get the house not so gloomy. You know, I really did. But you see, the thing is that there is actually one who was quite a bright little button. When she died, something like 15-something or something like that, and she'd been wandering. Because I tell you, what happens is that after I cleared these fellows, this is going to blow your paranormal mind, because this is my reality, this is my life, right? But after this happened, the house felt great, you know, it felt really calm and clear and all of this stuff, and then I started seeing more knots, more eyes in the knots, and I thought, oh, hello. Hello, we have a flow here. And so I, you know, spoke to these fellows more. They were different people, you know. And it's like, what it seems to be is that this is like an elevator. Where I live is a vortex where people come to pass on to move to dimensions. You can go up or down, wherever you want.
Okay, Did you check the whether magnetic field detector? Did you check to see where the magnetic field is there?
Oh, I'd love to. I haven't got any tech. I'd love to have some subtle measurement tech.
You gotta check.
All I use is dowsing. That's all I use. So I can do technical dowsing. You know, like I can get quantities and numbers down to you know whatever
this,
accuracy
this
you want.
The EMF field, how strong it is. All right. Now, there's two types. There's analog and digital. All right? The analog only goes up to, like, 250 milligauss. Well, the digital will go way, way up, past 250. Right? And also, the digital will go negative, too. It'll go negative, say, 250, positive, 250. Well, an analog EMF meter will not do that, so... What I would do is try to get an EMF meter that's digital, okay? You can get a cheap one for $50 online or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just having a quick look. I'm just having a quick look on eBay. A digital EMF meter, is that correct?
Yeah, EMF meter, right.
Yeah, okay, so what would I be doing with one of these? Would I be pointing them at my friends?
You'd be going around your property... You want to go outside, check your property for EMFs. Okay. Now, what you want is the three axis. Okay. The three axis, you don't have to point it in direction. It'll be 360 degrees. You just hold it in your hand, you know, away from your body, and just walk around with it. You don't have to point it to where the EMF is. And wherever it is around, it'll show up on there. All right? Where if you get a one-axis meter, you have to keep moving it around, pointing in different directions to see how much EMF's coming from somewhere, what direction.
Is that what you call a trifield?
A trifield.
I've got the three-axis Gauss meter is £90. The trifield meter, which is analog, the other one's digital, is £81.
Yeah. The digital one. Okay. You got a three-axis digital one, right?
Yeah, £92.73 from China.
And that's the one you want. You want the three-axis digital, not the trifield. Trifield's good, but it's analog. And it'll give you positive, not negative. So the digital will give you positive and negative, and plus it'll give you more than 250 milligauss. I think the trifield only goes up to 250, and then it stops. The needle will go to 250 and stop. So that EMF might be going beyond that. So you won't be able to see it unless you have the digital, which will go beyond 250 milligauss. Okay. Now, you got two measurements. You got two types of measurements. You got milligauss and micro Tesla. Okay. Now, mostly everybody uses the milligauss. So you have a setting on there. You can set it on milligauss or micro Tesla.
Are we talking about, is this like the difference between voltage and amperage or something?
No.
Or is Gauss and Tesla just different ways of expressing the same power, source, force?
Well, you can change Tesla and say milligauss, but you'll have two settings on there. You'll say milligauss and micro Tesla. Make sure you get it on milligauss so you don't have to change it into milligauss after. Once you set it on here, it'll tell you with milligauss. Whatever it registers, like say if it says 0.2, right? 0.2 is 2.2 milligauss. You got to set it on milligauss, so you know. And that's the intensity of the electromagnetic field. Milligauss and micro Tesla tells you what the field is.
All right. So how many gauss to the Tesla?
Which one?
I should look that up. I won't bother. Look. So Bill, this is essentially so EMF meter, right? So you got an EMF meter, right. And.
Want to check the whole house?
Check the whole house in terms of
around the perimeter of the house to outside, not just inside. Check around the house too, okay? And you'll let me know if you find any high EMFs, because usually high EMFs is where you find a vortex or a portal or something like that when it's real, real high.
Interesting.
So if you find something like that,
and would a portal be on a ley line? Or are there different ley lines?
Or could be.
Are they connected could with be. The Harman grid and the and stuff like that?
Yeah. Portals open up. Portals open up, but they don't stay in one place. They'll move around. They'll open up in a room probably, right? Stay there maybe 2 or 3 minutes and then move on to the next, or through right to the wall and go to the next room. So they ain't going to stay there very long. Portals do not stay in one spot, you know, for days or weeks or whatever. Couple of minutes. One of the investigators was like 4 hours it stayed in the room. Then it went off. But usually 3 or 4 minutes they're gone. So.
Okay, so they're not in a fixed place. And there would be how would I know if I was on a vortex? Would it be like a kind of, the signal will go up very quickly, then down a bit, and then back up again, and then away, something like that. Like a pool.
Walking around, let's say if you're walking around, JP, right, that's 0.2, right? All of a sudden, it shoots up to say 100 milligauss or 200 milligauss. That's probably a portal, okay? But you got to make sure for wires and stuff in the house, too. So what you want to do is go around first, check in first before the investigation and see what your readings are all around the house. You know, mark them down in the book. Like in your living room, this is what I got, you know, in your kitchen and then outside around the perimeter of the house, all right? And then after, then you want to start your investigation after you get your perimeter checked and stuff in the house too. Then you start checking. If you see any discrepancy after, you know, your meter shoots way up, you know it's something there after. Because you already did a preliminary investigation, you know, testing. or the house and outside. Now you're going to really test it. So you want to get perimeters all around. And write down the figures in your book, too, because it's no good if you don't know what you got earlier. You know what I mean? So you can check them against what you find after. So if you get high, you know, let me know about it, too. Because there could be a portal or, you know, a vortex or something that's opening up and closing in that house and causing these entities to come through. That's where the entities are coming through. They're coming through a portal. All right? They can come in your house through the portal and then back. Of course, demons can, demonic things can come through too. So I hope you know that.
So, well, that depends on what you're attracting, isn't it? And right. I think what's happening is that I'm attracting, I know what's happening because I'm not kidding. This is what they said to me, and more than one of these entities is, because I say, how did you find me? And they say, oh, the birds told us.
Okay.
And, you know, this whole old wives' tale about, oh, a little birdie told me. The birds are speaking to everybody. They're like they're the internet. They're the internet of the mind of avian reality. And signals are passing across, you know. I've got chickens myself, and, you know, that's what I think, how does Roger know when to crow? And he hears another crow in the distance, and he'll crow and amplify the crow. It's morning time, huh?
Yes, but demonic, demonic entities will also try to fool you. You know, saying that they try to look like a little girl or something like that. You know, get you confidence, and then attack you later. You know, start banging on the walls, you know. But these entities haven't done anything for a long time. They haven't tried to hurt you or, you know, bang on the walls or try to scare you or anything yet.
Oh, so no, they're not. It's not that, that's not it, you see, because the birds told them, you know, if you want to go to the next level, you come here. So I haven't spoken for a long time. A lot of the time recently, I've just kind of said, okay, book of the dead, folks, and they're away. We have a healer, Frank, who's managed to kind of condense the entire book of the dead into one single kind of sweep. And away they go, and everybody's happy, and it is very quick. Demonics are not the same. No.
Demonic energy. You have to invite in. Say if you had a seance, you invite the creature in. If you had a Ouija board, you gotta invite it in the house. This doesn't come in any house. You gotta invite it. So the person who's in the house has to invite the demonic entity in it. Because if that wasn't the way, they'd be in every house, the demonic entity. So the person who's doing a seance, you know, we're losing a Ouija board or something like that, he's inviting the thing inside the house. So now you have to get rid of it, of course, if the person invited it. Either that or move out.
So. Yeah, right. So,
let me ask you this, JP.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Do you have any water around your house? Lakes, I mean, a river?
I'm in a very small valley in Scotland on the side of a hill. So there's a burn, a stream at the bottom of the hill I'm on the side of, so it's like about, you know, 200 yards away, so I'm halfway up the valley side.
Okay. Also, do you have a stream under your house, do you know, or anything like that, wells with water underneath your house, something like that?
No, but there is a pond in the garden that is covered up.
Okay, there's a pond too. Okay, so the shaman that lives in New Hampshire close to Mass, he came to correlation looking at haunted houses. He's been doing it for 25 years. He has a correlation between water and a haunted house. It seems like when there's a body of water close by the house, there's more activity, paranormal activity in the house because of the body of water. Now, he's investigating at Connecticut near New York. He's investigating a house, and he was looking at the Google Earth, because the people there that lived there didn't know if there was any water or anything. Well, what he discovered was, under the house, there was a stream going under the house through Google Earth. Anybody can get Google Earth and look at a house and look underneath the house and stuff like that. So he discovered there was water under the house causing the haunting in this house. So he's investigating this with another investigator. So hopefully
that's a very interesting point, Bill. Now, is it about 20 years ago, I was married, and my ex-wife was involved in actually a healing charity for people with ME, not multiple sclerosis, myalgic encephalomyelitis. You know, the sick all the time, tired all the time disease. Chronic fatigue. And chronic fatigue. They call it chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, one of the people that they were working with, which was effective on some cases, were people who were sensitive to the Hartmann grid, the Curry grid, and most of all, what would he said? And this is, I spoke to this bloke, and his name was, you may know him. He's sort of, you know, your generation, which is Alf Riggs. Have you heard of Alf Riggs from the British Society of Dowsing?
No.
All right. Anyway, we had him in the house, and I followed him around for a couple of hours doing his thing, and he had the EMF meters and all of these things, and the dowsing rods and all these things, and he was telling me all about the things that you get in houses, which are Hartmann lines, Curry lines, and underground streams. And he said the underground stream, and when you say a stream, it's like forcing its way through cracks in rocks. You know, that's a stream, but it's like there's going through a lot of friction, and that friction, he says, creates an electromagnetic sheet, a field that goes directly up out of the earth. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that really screw with people, because particularly when you've got, now what was he saying, as a premenstrual girl. And these underground streams, the frequency of the stream, the frequency of the radio signal that's coming up, is interfering with the thing that's coming up in the girl, estrogen. And immediately the girl falls ill, whereupon she wasn't ill before. So she hits puberty, the field interacts with their thing, and boom, she falls ill. And they live in the same, and so this is one of the problems of an underground stream.
Well, let me see. I don't know if you ever the Schumann field. You ever heard of that, of the Earth?
Oh yeah, somebody said it changed last week. It doubled.
Schumann's field is around 7.35.
Okay? Yeah, somebody said it changed last week. I'm not sure, but you know, latest news.
Roughly, it does. It goes up. It goes up to like 50 hertz. But usually it's around 7.35, something like that, okay? And here's the thing. Our brain waves, our alpha waves, guess what? A 7.35 around here. So the Earth and our brains are like messed together, okay? And plus, what you were saying about the water... Okay, my chemistry background. Okay, water has a magnetic and electrical properties. Okay, and that's where they get the energy from. When water flows, it creates a voltage. Okay, and that's why you see a lot of houses. They have a lot of activity in the kitchen or the bathroom because the water flows through the pipes, and it creates an electromagnetic field. And what you create EMFs. So that's why you'll get a lot of activity in the bathroom, or, you know, you'll see something, an entity in the bathroom or the kitchen because of the water. Now, one of the investigators has put a voltage regular meter on one of the pipes. He got like 80 volts. When the water's flowing through the pipe, it creates 80 volts of voltage through the pipe. So that gives you a lot of energy. But wherever it is, needs energy, they can get it from the water flowing through the house. And, of course, you got a lot of more paranormal activity in the house, the more energy you have, too, flowing. So he's correct. The Dalzer is correct. When water flows, it creates a high EMF field, which can affect your brain, make you see things that are not there, hear things that are not there, too. We know this. You know, you see ghosts or, shadow people, something. You're not really, they're not probably really there if you got high EMF field. Now, if you don't have any high EMF field and you see these things, that's another story. But if you do check in the house, because people are seeing, hearing things, and you got a high EMF, you can assume that the high EMF is causing the problem. Now, also, in England, it's 50 hertz, okay? Your frequency of your electricity is 50 hertz.
That's right.
And United States is 60, okay? So, most people don't have, only very few people have, an oscilloscope. Okay, my oscilloscope will tell me the frequency, too, of the, when I go in the house, if I use that. I have my meters, and I got my oscilloscope. Now, I can assume if it's 60 hertz right away, then throw it out. If I register 60 hertz on my oscilloscope, okay, the EMF fields won't, EMF detectors will not tell you the frequency. It only tell you the electromagnetic field strength.
Ah, that's because I was going to ask you about that.
Yes. It only tell you the strength of the electromagnetic field. It won't tell you the frequency. So say if you're in the house and you had an oscilloscope, handheld one. No, mine costs like 150, something like that. All right? As soon as I see 60 hertz, I know it's man-made. Okay? So I know right away it's not anything paranormal or anything. It's high EMFs coming from somewhere, the walls. You know what electricians used to like to do when they put the wiring in the house? Instead of cutting the wire, they get lazy and just put it around a nail. You know, they wind it, the wire around the nail.
So they create an antenna?
No, they create a transformer. High EMFs through the wall when they wind it around the nail instead of cutting it because they're lazy, okay? They cut it and they wind it around the wire, and this creates a transformer. That's why you get high EMFs through the wall, because of the electrician being lazy and not cutting the wire. So it doesn't give off, doesn't act like a transformer. If you wind wire, you get a high EMF field because it acts like a transformer. That's what's causing it. Now, I go in the house, I usually shut the electricity off too, Say if I got high EMFs, I shut the electricity off and see if I still got it. You can do that on your house too. After you check, check one more time after you, the first time. And if you don't get anything, then shut it off and see what happens too. Your box downstairs in your cellar must have a box that you can shut your electricity off. Just for a minute. So you can go right through the house quick and come back down and put it back on. Okay? You can check that too. Cause I checked, two or three houses in Hayville. And I got high EMFs in the living room and stuff. When I shut the electricity off, I still got high EMFs. So evidently, the electrician Mickey Moused it. What they did is, instead of grounding the wire too, they put it on a copper pipe or something. Instead of putting it in the ground. So, electricity going to ground, and you won't have that problem. In these houses, the electrician put the wire on the
Really? So he's grounding to the electric ground, which normally grounds to the electric ground. the pipe.
To put in the ground, yeah, not a pipe.
Exactly. Here's the thing, and I've been talking to various people, because the effect of actually physically grounding your body is calming on the nerves and things like that, because we're electrical too. Yeah. I've been talking about taking some aluminium foil with a piece of wire, aluminium foil, I'll translate for you, aluminium foil and a piece of wire and attaching it to the central heating. Now, I think your houses are wired differently in the States, because in Britain, we're very, very strong on electrical grounding. Everything is grounded. There's yellow wires underneath the sinks and in the back of most people's houses. What's it like in the States?
I'm sure the houses there, they must have Mickey Mouse too. They, shortcuts. I'm sure the electricians do that too. I'm not saying all the houses.
Not these days. I mean, I have to tell you, I live in a very old cottage. And
so yours is very,
Mine was very dodgy, but I had the guys come in. They came in. They said, "Hello, I'm Mark and I'm Matthew. I'm Mark and this is Matthew." I was like, "Oh, good, my apostles." So anyway, meanwhile, but they checked out my whole house and they found that there was, like you were talking about, there was one bare wire in the middle of my Jesus, in the middle of the ceiling of my kitchen. Okay. Just a bare wire going nowhere, right beneath the hot water tank.
Okay.
Smart, huh? There's your cowboy.
That's creating an electromagnetic field, right? It goes right across into the pipe, and that causes electricity to run, and then when electricity is running, it creates an electromagnetic field too. So you get an electromagnetic field from the pipe caused from the wire going across. That's called induction. When you have one thing next to each, you know, close to each other, but not touching, induction.
Yep.
It's called a magnetic field, causes electricity to run, and you get a voltage, and that voltage causes an EMF field, too, which is current. Current's the causing the EMF field, not the voltage, actually. But the voltage moving, so, and the current and the voltage will cause an EMF field to form. So that's another cause there. Now, you can have fans that have lousy motors, okay, that are not, you know, shielded, like in a fan, that'll cause high EMFs. Another investigator found he went in a house and saw EMFs. People were seeing ghosts, hearing things, you know, ghosts in the house. And they discovered that they had a fish tank, and on the fish tank was a motor, and it wasn't shielded. It was giving off high EMF fields in the house, causing everybody in the house to hallucinate, seeing ghosts and hearing things that are not really there.
Really?
Once they got rid of the motor and got another motor for the fish tank, everything went away. Same with the fan. As soon as they had that fan taken down and put another one up, I replaced the motor, everything went away in the house after that. So you can look for stuff like that.
So, Bill?
Fans. Yes.
What you're saying here is that your 60 hertz mains frequency is causing people to hallucinate if it's inducted into them.
It's not the 60 hertz.
It's the EMF field that's causing
the high intensity.
Yeah, the intensity. But, I mean, if say somebody had a transformer that wasn't grounded, like this one, like the magic fish tank, that this would effectively be an EMF radiator, yeah? It's inducing,
right.
It's acting as a kind of transmitting antenna.
Right. It's causing people to hallucinate.
That's right. So it's actually causing mind effects.
Right.
Which is a really interesting thing, isn't it?
It also makes you sick. It also causes, for a long time, say if you're under a power, electrical power wires going across your house. If you live there for 30 years, you can cause disruptions in your immune system, cause brain tumors, stuff like that in your brain.
I tell you, Bill. One night,
hours.
I spent one night in a field once in a festival called Glastonbury Festival, and when I parked my bike and set up my tent, I thought, oh, what a great place. There's this fantastic electric atmosphere. And you know what happened? I stepped out of my tent, I looked up, and by golly, I was parked directly underneath the pylon wires. Yeah. So, yeah, there was literally enough. And it was the worst festival ever. I'm never, ever going to park my tent under cables again because I got stolen from. I had a hell weekend. I had the weekend from hell. And then it rained. And then it didn't stop raining. And it was known as the year of the mud in Glastonbury because the whole side of the valley just flowed down, tent and all. So there were tents flowing down the side of this valley into the bottom of the valley where the stage was.
You were getting bombarded by high EMF fields hitting you down there. But you're not there that long, so it's not going to really harm you.
Exactly. But that was my experience of one night under this thing. It wasn't great.
Next one, when you get your EMF field, go under one of those wires and check it with the meter. You'll see it. You'll see it go shoot right up.
You know, well, exactly. There's something like...
If you're 100 feet away, put your meter on and start walking to it and watch it go up as you get closer and closer
to that high field, EMF field coming from the wire that's coming, high tension wires or whatever. That's why people shouldn't live under there, high tension wires, you know.
That's right.
You're going over a house.
Well, they, in general, they don't. They call it a clear wave.
Unless they read about it or somebody tells them. Most of them don't know about that. So I come to the impression when I go in houses and check, they don't know anything about, you know, wires outside, stuff like that. Because I do check the house outside, too, for high EMFs, not just in the house. So like I said, if I shut the electricity off, it goes away, you know, it's not grounded somewhere, but it is, high EMFs are coming from somewhere. But it's not grounded, say, to a pipe or something. Because once I shut it off, the EMF field, you know, disappears. But once I put the electricity back on in here, I got high EMFs. It's somewhere in the house, in the walls, ceiling, who knows, that this high EMF is coming from. You know. And then you have to do a lot of research and check and see if it's coming from something.
Yeah, I mean, there may be an underground high tension cable.
Right.
That is running right under the house, right under a row of houses where everybody's getting cancer, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
People do that.
Yeah. Now, I forgot to tell you that from electrical motors and stuff, like the fan and that motor from the fish tank and stuff, they give off what is called infrasound. Now, infrasound is under 20 hertz, where we can't hear it. You ever been near a boom box and you can feel it hitting you? Like on your stomach or your shoulder or something, that sound hitting you, but you can't hear it?
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm very familiar with infrasound, and in fact, I produce quite a lot of it myself.
Okay.
Just as a person.
So the infrasound will also cause you to hallucinate and see things that are not really there, too. So you're getting bombarded by EMFs and infrasound both. At the under 20 hertz, that thing is vibrating like, you can't hear it, but it is vibrating under 20 hertz. Your ears can only hear 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz, in that range. Of course, there are exceptions. Some people got super hearing or whatever. They can hear down to 18, you know, or 30,000. But the average person, 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. That's what we can hear, and that's it. We can't hear underneath that, and we can't hear over that. Like a dog whistle. I know that some people can hear a dog whistle, but that's the minority of people can hear a dog whistle. Most the majority of us cannot hear a dog whistle. Only the dog can hear it up to that type of range, you know? So, yeah. So I mentioned that the other because a lot of places, buildings and stuff, people, you know, feel stuff, like the sense of something, presence or something like that. And what's causing it is the sound, the wind going through the building and stuff, causing infrasound to affect these people. And that's why they sense a presence of something, because they're getting bombarded by infrasound under 20 hertz, causing their problems. Seeing things, you know, hearing things too. So you got two things to get rid of. Once you get rid of that fan, the motor in the fan, or the motor in the fish tank, you know, infrasound, the EMFs go right away, and then the whole family's okay after that. No more ghosts, no more hearing things, you know, footsteps, stuff like that, going on after that. So.
Well, that's a very interesting angle there, because, you know, whether they're experiencing things out of their own imagination that's being brought out, or even past life, their own past life memories being re-experienced due to the frequency bombardment.
Yeah, well, that's the whole family. If it was just one person, that's different. But if you've got four or five people all experience the same thing, you know, it's the EMF and it's the infrasound causing it. So right away, once you get rid of that, the whole family's, you know, back to normal after that. You know, also carbon monoxide will cause you to hallucinate too, you know. Usually in the winter, I check I have a carbon monoxide detector, and I'll check downstairs where the furnace is. Usually it's caused from a leak or something, you know. Not enough oxygen mixing. So you're gonna get carbon monoxide. I check for that. That'll make people hallucinate too.
Yeah, interesting.
Carbon monoxide will kill people.
And the thing about monoxide is that the monoxide rises and dioxide falls.
Right.
So, yeah, people need to be aware of that.
Upstairs, it'll stop where you're sitting or whatever. Right. So you can get people to hallucinate and see ghosts and hear things because the carbon monoxide poisoning. They don't know, they don't realize until later, you know, until somebody checks it. Also, radon. You heard of radon, right?
Yes, radon gas.
Radon is found in houses. Radon gas, it's a radioactive gas found in uranium that seeps through, it's found in wells and it seeps through the foundation of the cellar, if you have a cellar or whatever. It'll seep through there. That'll cause you hallucinate stuff too. It causes cancer in the lungs because it gives off alpha waves. And if you breathe that in, the alpha waves will go in your lungs, of course. And it will cause tumors, especially if you do it for like 10, 15, 20 years, you know.
Also, these are alpha particles, Bill. Alpha particles.
Alpha particles,
yeah.
Right.
Not alpha waves, because alpha waves are those nice dreamy things. But alpha particles, yes, indeed. So,
alpha particles.
Yes, indeed.
It won't hurt you through your skin. The alpha particles will not hurt you through the skin, but you can breathe it in, okay? It won't hurt your DNA, in other words. Now, they got what is called beta particles. Those will hurt your DNA, but it will go through a layer of skin, but it won't go right in. But it will go into your DNA of your skin and stuff. Of course, and then there's gamma rays. Now, these will kill you, of course, if you're exposed too long to gamma rays. So.
And luckily, we don't have that much.
I have a radon. For radon, I have a meter, all right? And it checks for alpha, beta, gamma, and X-rays. So I can go in the cellar with my meter and check for all the stuff. And it gives off light, right? And it blinks and gives off a sound. So if there's any radon in the cell, it'll go bing, 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 bing. It'll start going faster, and the light will start flashing more and more. So far, I haven't had found any house, okay? I haven't found any radon in the house. But I'm sure there's other houses that have it. I haven't checked them all. I haven't checked all the houses, just the houses we... You know, the assets come in and investigate. I check the cellar, the carbon monoxide and the radon in the cellar. And I also check for, the boxes, the fuse boxes with a flare thermal camera that I have. I check for that. Matter of fact, I went to one house and there was 8 fuses in the fuse box. I checked it with the thermal camera and 3 on the left, right? They were registering 150 to 160 volts. I mean, 150, 160 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, yeah. 150 Fahrenheit.
The other ones were like 50, 60 Fahrenheit. So evidently, the person who put the fuses in the fuse box, they put the wrong three of them were wrong, and they're causing high temperature. And I would probably burnt the house down if I didn't catch you. But, which was good too. It was a good catch with the thermal. Because I can not only tell me the temperature, but I could see it, you know, the brightness of it, compared to the other ones that were in the box. So that was a good catch there. That's what the thermal camera came in good. Check the boxes. I check wires in the cellar with the thermal too, to see if, you know, there's any great heat coming from them. So I check from the cellar and then I work up all the way up. If there's something up top, I'll go right up straight up, you know, the second floor, right up. If I can get up to the next floor after that, I'll do that too, go in and check. So,
I mean, basically, you've got an array of devices. I love devices. Everybody loves devices. You know. But you've got an array of devices that can spy on different areas of the electromagnetic and audio spectrum, essentially, that we cannot see and perceive with our own physical equipment.
Yes, but the equipment
plus the radioactive stuff.
Yeah, the equipment I use it to debunk. In other words, natural causes. I go in to debunk the what they're seeing or whatever. Of course, if I can't find anything, you know, after I research and everything, all my equipment mostly is used for that. To rule out all the normal stuff first. And you can't, you gotta rule that out before you can start saying it's paranormal or thinking it's paranormal. But I'll use my my infrared cameras, I got four of them, I set them up, and I'll use my digital voice recorder for evidence of something paranormal. Those two things I use for that. Because if I catch something on camera, you know, there it is, everybody can see it. So, you know, there's no denying there's something there. If you see it on my infrared camera, which of course you can see in the dark. It's dark when I put the cameras on. But it looks like you can see anything in the room, even though it's dark with the infrared. Because they're shooting infrared out, reflecting off everything in the room, including something that could be an entity or something walking through, and this camera will pick it up if it's walking through. So I will see it on the screen. Matter of fact, I got three light entities in this place in Haverhill. As it was in the barn. The people in there were devil worshippers and stuff. They were worshiping the devil. I guess they burnt the Bible outside. And I went in and investigated, and I let my cameras run. And I got three entities that come out of the ceiling on a 45-degree angle. Three of them, like following each other. I never seen it in my life. They were following each other, and they were all on the floor. It wasn't dust, because this was in the winter. So you know how they say orbs of dust? Well, these weren't actually orbs. They're a little bigger than orbs. And they weren't round. They were like oblong. You know? And three of them come out like they were entities or something, following each other, one after another. And I caught it on my infrared camera. It was very exciting. So
that's a very I mean, you said you've never seen a demonic. Sounds like there was one instance where you did. And well, look, we're getting
see it on TV. And stuff.
Okay.
The most of that's fake, you know. But this was real. This is the first time I've really seen it in reality, not just on stupid TV. So, which was good. When I caught those three entities. I've never caught a full blown apparition, but maybe someday I will with my camera. Hopefully. If there's something there, my camera will catch it, you know? Yeah, I got those infrared digital, well, it's a film. It records, you know, like film on the digital. I also got infrared cameras that I take pictures with. So I can go into Roma and I start flashing, you know, taking pictures everywhere, corners or whatever, ceiling, and just take all the pictures. And then check them later on the computer. I blow up the pictures on my computer to see if there's anything there I caught or anything like that. So,
excellent.
So far I haven't caught just orbs I've caught in the cemetery, you know, stuff like that. Other than that, I haven't caught anything, you know, great. But I mean, you got a lot of people that have websites in America, and they all lie. They say I caught this, and they Photoshop this. You know, a ghost that appears inside the picture. They photoshopped it, so it's not real. In other words, and they claim that it is. Of course, that's why you can't really tell if it's real or not, because these people can Photoshop or use some other software to put something inside. It's very simple to do. You know, anybody actually can do it. Once they just practice with it a few times, they can put a ghost right in the picture and say, yeah, I caught this in this house, you know, lie about it, whatever.
Oh yeah, certainly. My my very son is that much of a Photoshop expert. He took a photo of me and merged it onto a book. A copy of a book, Charles Darwin, Origin of the Species, because I've got this long beard, right? And he did it perfectly, okay. And it just looks like that's me on the cover.
Yeah.
Very, very
luxury. Can't really tell the difference.
Anyway, Bill,
the fake one or the real?
Listen, we need to reset this call because we're getting a bit of interference here. So let me play a tune. I'll call you back in a minute or so, and we'll reconvene this conversation. Okay. So one of the things that we need to do is when we're doing paranormal investigations is to turn our lights down low. So if that's not the worst segue ever, this is Bob Marley with Lauryn Hill, the ODD girl. Turn your lights down low. You are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, home of cosmic reality, a show discussing the energy universe where anything is possible, including building a new reality and a magical mineral called shungite. Join Nancy Hopkins and Walt Silver in changing everything one show at a time. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Ray Readings by JP. Want to take control of your life? Start with the basics. Learn what prominent energies are at play in your soul and your personality. Go to everbeyondradio.com and get a Ray reading from JP. Discover how to capitalize on your strengths and mitigate your weaknesses. Claim dominion one Ray at a time. Everbeyondradio.com. A member of the Wolf Pack. Beyond. Well, good afternoon, and welcome back to Ever Beyond. This is JP, and my guest today is Bill Amels, paranormal investigation. I should have a paranormal investigator. Anyway, you can't hear the effects that they can hear. They're hearing this paranormal investigator. Hang on a second.
That's cute. Okay. Let's go back to
yes, indeed. Let's go back.
Let's go back to the oscilloscope.
Scope. I love oscilloscopes. It's I've always wanted one. You know, you're talking about some of the toys that I've always wanted, but you know, I've got other things to do. Obviously, that the universe wants me to do with my life than sticky EMF meters around. But it's great that there are people like you who can and do and have the enthusiasm for it.
What I want to do is tell you and your audience that if you had not everybody knows how to use one, but I'm just saying, this will tell you right away if it's paranormal or not. Because if you get 50 hertz, you know right away it's not paranormal. You know? If you get the frequency at 50 hertz, it's your frequency in your electricity. So you know it's not paranormal. But if you get something under 50 hertz, that could be paranormal. And the oscilloscope will tell you the frequency, while an EMF meter won't. So with an EMF meter, you get high EMFs and stuff, but it won't tell you the frequency. So.
Yeah, and if anybody who's a regular listener to this show will know that frequency is where I'm like frequencies are us. It's all about specific frequency. Frequency is an incredibly precise. How can I say it? Only specific frequencies do specific things, and they have resonances and all of these things. And again, that gets us back to your what I call mains frequency, which is 60 hertz in yours and 50 hertz in ours. That they should change it to 54 hertz, which is why. What's your recommendation?
What happened was with the engineers, correct? At 60 hertz, it's close to our heartbeat. It's better to have it at 50 hertz, away from close to our heartbeat. Because that's what kills you, is because of the 60 hertz, close to what the electricity is running at. Your heart, you know, your heartbeat. So it goes out of rhythm and causes arrhythmias. While you're at 50 hertz, it's better. But the engineers never wanted to change it to 50 hertz. Now we'll keep it at 60. You know, it's better at 50. So Europe and England stuff is better at 50 hertz than 60.
Well, that's interesting, Bill, because a few years ago, there was, I don't know if it was a law or a statute or just an announcement by the electricity companies that they were going to allow the, I can't remember what it was, they were going to remove the frequency lock on your mains. which would which basically means when the turbine slows down a bit, then the frequency gets lower, and when the turbine speeds up according to demand, then the frequency gets higher. But I remember it happened a few years ago because I was talking to Dave Corso when we were running the station together at the beginning, you know, whether this will affect anything. And the only thing apparently it affected is old-fashioned electric clocks that run, you know, just like on a motor were affected by the frequency.
Slow down the clocks.
Yeah, well, they would slow down and speed up. Now, here's the thing. I just went out to the bathroom, and I noticed, oh, my God, my washing machine was on. And I thought, you know, I had one of these moments. It never worked. I had a...
Wake up, Mom.
Moment when I just went out there. But, of course, what I did is that I had run out of the... there was a smoke situation in my house, and because I have a wood stove which blows back sometimes, and I just ran to open the window, and as I leaned over the washing machine to open the window, it switched it on, and I didn't hear the click, and I walked away. Anyway, long story. Not very paranormal. Very, very old-fashioned, old-school normal, fat old belt buckle. Anyway, meanwhile, back in the world, so, you know, we're definitely into the ever beyond zone here, because it's all about frequency, and so what you've been talking about is that there are things that are able to resonate in our house that aren't very pleasant for us, and you're saying that the 60 hertz has a connection with the heart rate. Now, what also it does, obviously, has a connection with the brain rate. Because it will either give you 7.5 cycles, 15 cycles, 30 cycles. You'll be subharmonics of the mains.
It's incrementions of that.
Yeah, subharmonics. And so 7.5 is close to your Schumann resonance, isn't it?
Well, 7.5 are the alpha waves. Not all the wild waves of your brain are like the Schumann waves of the Earth. Now, a German scientist, Schumann was another German scientist. He discovered the Earth had that pulse. But there was another German scientist who discovered, I think it was Hans Berger. He discovered that the Schumann frequency was the same as the brain waves of our brains. He's the one who invented the EEG machine that we all use today to check people for, you know, mental illness, whatever. Yeah. So his name was Hans Berger. So he's the one who saw the correlation between the Earth and our brain. So what's happening is we're getting bombarded by all these EMF waves coming from our antennas, CBs, whatever, and it's bombarding and it's affecting our brain. Okay? That's why people are probably in a lot of anxiety, they can't sleep, stuff like that. Because we're getting bombarded by all these EMF waves, which we can't see or hear, and it's affecting our brain waves with the Earth. Before we had all this electronics and stuff, we were one with the Earth. You know? Our brains were just like the Earth. Because we're both at the same frequency, 7.5. Now we're not at the same frequency as the Earth, because we've gone bombarded by all the EMF waves, which is interrupting our frequency with the Earth. So I think that's why we got a lot of illnesses and stuff today, causing from all this EMF bombardment of all the electronic gadgets we got in the house, you know, all the antennas outside and radio waves, we got television waves, you name it, and we got it bombarding everything, which is affecting us from our brains connected to the Earth. It's disconnecting us from the 7.5 hertz of the Earth. So
that's right. One of the things that Alf was saying is that during the night, when we're sleeping, we produce these brain chemicals, and I always get the wrong one. They're all called tonin, and one of them is called melatonin, one's called serotonin, and there are other things. But they're created in the
dopamine,
all of these things, they're created in the brain area when your body is able to hit their alpha frequency. And because of these EMF waves, that it prevents our brains from getting to the right note to produce the right chemicals. And so what's and this is another reason for having your mobile phone transformer away from your bed, and all of these, you know, as much electrical stuff,
radios,
everything
radios close to your head, anything like that, clocks, electric clocks, stuff like that, they give off a lot of EMFs. I found that in many houses I investigated, like one woman when she was pregnant, she had a radio next to her head. I checked it was like 60, 70 milligauss bombarding her. I said, well, get rid of that, put it on the floor, you know, and then it was all right after that. But she didn't know she was being bombarded by all these EMF waves coming from a radio right next to her head, which is, you know. So a lot of people don't know that, you know. Also, you can get electric blankets will go off a lot of EMFs too.
Well, indeed. If you think about it, you're basically putting on a big transmitting antenna for 60 hertz and all its sub-frequencies.
Or a transformer.
A transformer. You know, it's a transformer is a transmitter and a receiver of EMF waves. So, you know, it's just one way of expressing it. But you're basically dousing yourself in a field of EMF when you switch on that blanket, which is why, brothers and sisters, I recommend, if you want an electric blanket, get a DC one that runs off a battery, and then you don't get that.
Right. Or, the same thing with a water bed. If you've got a motor that's heating the water bed, you're going to get an EMF off that motor, too, that's running the heater of your water bed, too. So, you want to look into that, too. So, yeah, DC is all right. It's the AC that fluctuates up and down. You know, you get a high and low. It goes from negative positive to negative positive. It doesn't stay at one. So, yeah, DC would be much better than an AC current, which AC has, of course, more amperage, which will kill you faster than DC. DC has a low amperage.
Well, exactly, but the main thing is that it doesn't create the same field that the AC one does, because it's running on low voltage. It's running at 12 volts. It's only got and it's a DC current. So it's, in fact, if you could get that on a very low AC frequency, like changing over every 15 minutes, it might do you some good. But anyway, long story. So we surround ourselves. I mean, probably listeners to the show, we were probably a bit preaching to the choir, because most people have been through, you know, the EMF sensitivity. You know, most people here know about EMF, and we talk about shungite as a material that can mitigate the frequency. Not the frequencies, but it attenuates the signal. And so it's like an absorbent pad that sucks in the... it's like the thing that brings, what's that thing you were talking about, the portal? It's like a portal.
A vortex.
Yeah. So it will lower the ambient EMF around anyone. But obviously, it's best to remove the EMF in the first place.
Right. Now, let me give you this. Vortex and portal, of course, are not scientific terms. Now, the scientific term for a vortex or a portal is the Einstein-Rosen bridge. That's what it's called. It's a mathematical thing that Einstein put together.
And I like the other way of putting it, the boat of Ra.
Yeah, boat of Ra.
And indeed, you know, where they lead and what they lead to can be anywhere, really, can't it? It's like, like you say, these are not so scientifically researched, because, unless you can count CERN, it's like, I got the feeling that they're trying to create one that's like 17 miles wide. I don't know what they're trying to get through, but... it seems to be a very large version of this thing that we're talking about.
You can have portals like 10 feet that open up. Okay? That's like in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. They have the battlefields there. Like hundreds of thousands of men died on the battlefield. And they've seen people walking across the, people walking across the field. They're thinking that's they're recreating the battle, right? These are actually ghosts that you're actually seeing way back when the battle was actually taking place. You're seeing that as it's happening. They don't see you, but you see them, because you're not looking through the portal at them. And all of a sudden they disappear. They go close to the woods at the end of the field, and they disappear. Okay? And most people, you could be next to a person, the person next to you can't see it, because in the wrong angle, but you're in the right angle, so you can see these troops going across. 300, 400. They got their guns, they got their drums, playing the drums and all that stuff, to get the people excited that are going across. Matter of fact, touring reenactors, they thought it was real, and they got in line once, and they walked with everybody, and all of a sudden, everybody disappeared in there. They couldn't believe it. They got scared because they see everybody disappear around them, and they thought it was a reenactment. It wasn't. It was ghosts that they were walking with through the field. So they were at right on the field, right at the right angle to see them. There were other people that were around the outside, the perimeter. If you're not on the right angle, you couldn't see them walking across. So people have taken photographs of it too, of the people. Now, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, is very haunted because there was thousands and thousands of deaths that happened back in 1864 there during the Civil War. And most people don't know it only lasted like, 8 years? 4 years? I think it was 64 to 68, the Civil War ended after that. Only 4 years it lasted. Most people, when you ask high school graduates, 1820 and 1930, they don't know. And of course, they study it, but they forgot it when the Civil War happened in the United States. And so that would be a good quiz thing to give people on a quiz show. When did the battle begin? When did it end? So that'd be like the million-dollar question they have to ask them that. Most of them get it wrong anyways. Even college graduates get that wrong, if you ask them.
I wouldn't know that, the answer to that. Anyway, indeed, I live near Culloden, right, which is in Scotland, and all I remember from history lessons, I have to say, is this terrible old film of kids with muddy faces. This old black and white film that we used to be, like 16 millimeter projector, watching film of the Battle of Culloden. I still, to this day, have not one clue, iota of a clue, A, what it was about, B, who it was between, C, who won, and D, why did he keep on showing it to us? I really don't know. Those are some of the mysteries of my own personal life. So, I think the main thing is that the mainstream history is so full of holes that it doesn't kind of hold together somehow. But anyway, long story. Go ahead.
Let me say this, to all your audience that are listening, and if they're paranormal investigators, check the property that you're investigating. See if there's any water close by, streams, lakes, rivers, or ponds, or whatever, close by. And usually, 9 out of 10 times, it's what's causing a lot of the paranormal activity, if there's any in there, caused from that. Now, like I said, the shaman investigated the correlation between those, and 85% of the hauntings had water around it. So that's why he correlated the water to the haunting, because 85% of them had water, either the stream going close, and he said the most active is when the water is heading towards the house and then rears off to the right or left. Doesn't go right through the house, but it goes on the left or the right of it. Those are the most active houses, he said. And have a lot of paranormal
activity.
That's
very interesting. That's a really, really interesting thing. And I'll tell you why. Is that close to here is a house that is on a bend Like the road bends around 90 degrees, and the house is situated exactly if the road kept going.
Right.
And they call that the most haunted house in Britain.
Mm-hmm. That's not the Barley of them. The Barley house, that burnt down, I think. That was with Harry Price.
It is really the most, but they call it the most haunted house in Murray, probably.
Okay. Harry Price, of course, was the most famous in England. He was the first ghost hunter, and a lot of his contemporaries didn't like him because they were jealous. Because he went on the radio and the papers, everybody wanted to interview him. You know, became famous. Well, the other ones were in the back watching him. So a lot of them didn't like him because his fame grew, and their fame, of course, nobody knew who they were. You know what I mean? But Harry Price, everybody knew. He was a magician, too. He was an amateur magician, and he belonged to that England magic, club. I think it's kind of magic club. I don't know the name of it in England. But he belonged to it. So he was also a magician, too.
Oh, what, the magic circle?
Something like that, yeah.
This is like the conjurer's kind of forum.
Also, all the famous magicians.
When you say magician, we're talking about stage magician as opposed to alchemist magician like Crowley, John Dee, and that sort of lot.
Right, yeah. Aleister Crowley was an occultist. He wasn't they call him a magician, but he was actually an occultist. You know, you fool around with the occult. Stuff like that. I don't know if he fooled around with devil worship or anything like that, but I know he fooled around with the occult, trying to communicate with the other side or whatever. So, let me ask you about that. Now, you heard of the voice box, ghost box, spirit box, ovilus, all these things that I don't know if your people listening outside, out there, or in the world. If you got an ovilus or you got a spirit box, ghost box, whatever you want to call it, okay, you can't use that for evidence. And if you look at the box, it usually says for entertainment only. The lawyers told the people that are building this equipment, which is actually useless as far as I'm concerned, to put for entertainment only, in case you want to sue them, you know, get your money back or whatever. You cannot do it because they got that on the box for entertainment only. So you cannot sue these people and make engineers are making this equipment, selling it. And they usually put it on the paranormal programs so people can see it and want to buy it. Then they get the customers to come in. But the best thing to use is just the audio voice recorder, you know, a $30 one or whatever. That's all you actually need. You don't need all this other junk that's on the market. It's useless, as far as I'm concerned. But if you want to buy it, that's fine. But you're going to see right on it, right away, that it says entertainment only, and you can't use that for evidence. So, that's something to know about, too. Because that's all I use is, like we were talking about, the dynamic microphone. I hook it up to my voice recorder, too, so I can catch the EMFs or EVPs on it. So...
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that? We were having a conversation the other night about this, and just let everybody know what it was about, because it's quite an interesting thing about different kinds of microphones, a different kind of, you know, you can get EVPs on some and not others. Yeah, do you want to talk about that?
Okay. So you got three types of microphones. I'm just going to mention two: the dynamic and the condenser. Okay, mostly all your voice recorders will come with a condenser, which is used as capacitors for it. Where a dynamic microphone will use springs, wiring, and a magnet that goes through it to create the EMF. All right, the ones with the condensers will not pick up EMFs. They'll pick up audio. Okay, they either pick your voice up, or they'll pick up something that's in the room that's audio. In other words, mechanical energy that's coming through. Now, this audio voice phenomena. You know, people hear it in their ears and stuff, like, get out. They might hear something like, say, get out in their ear. That's the audio voice phenomena. Okay? Something is in that room that's saying that. So something's present that you can't see, but you're hearing in your ear, saying, telling you to get out of the room. You know, I'm going to kill you, or something like that. That's called audio voice phenomena. And then the dynamic microphones of the voice recorder will pick that up, and of course pick your voices up too. Where a dynamic microphone will pick up EMFs that you cannot hear, but when you play back, you can hear it. Well, the condenser can't. So that's the difference. So when you get a condenser microphone and you pick something up, and then you play it back on your thing, and you think it's a ghost or something like that, you're talking, it isn't. Because they only pick up the audio voice. And there could be something kind of ghost in the house if you do pick it up on the condenser. But you won't pick up any EMFs. So what you need is a dynamic microphone that you hook it up. Once you stick the dynamic microphone into the voice recorder, it'll bypass the condenser. It'll bypass the condenser and use the dynamic. And you'll pick up more EVPs with a dynamic voice. The dynamic recorder with the magnetic thing that's inside of it. So you'll have more luck using a dynamic microphone than just the condenser. That's a tip for everybody out there.
Here's another thing, all right? So if you can possibly damp the ability of the diaphragm to pick up sound, you will increase the ability for it to be cranked up further and pick up more electromagnetic energy. So if you could somehow... very delicate thing to do is you get a scalpel and open up the microphone and cut the diaphragm out, basically, leaving the coil exactly as it was, but then it will only vibrate, it will only pick up magnetic vibrations and not acoustic vibrations after that.
Right.
You've basically taken its eardrum out.
Right, you're taking that out, because that's acoustical or mechanical energy that you see. It has to have, in other words, molecules in the air for the sound to travel. Once you cut the diaphragm out, it won't pick up the mechanical energy that's coming through the air, only EMFs. But you'll miss, if it's an audio voice phenomenon, you'll miss that if you take that dynamic, if you take the thing out of it. So you want to leave that in there, the drum. Because you want to pick something up that's audio voice phenomena too. You know, something that's in there that says get out or something like that. You will hear it, but if you get your voice recorder on, that'll pick it up too. When you hear it in your ear, you'll pick it up with your voice recorder too, so it'll record on it. So
yeah, well, in that case, you'd have the other channel, say, using a condenser mic.
Right.
Yeah, a condenser mic on one channel, and so you'd hear. This is just the way I do it, because this is the kind of thing that I do.
You've got a dynamic microphone and a condenser microphone
on each channel,
next to each other. If you let those run, and you pick something on both, okay. That is not an EMF. Now, if you pick it up just on the dynamic microphone, not on the condenser, that is EMF. So you know right away if it's an electromagnetic phenomenon or not, by knowing that you can't get them on both. Only the dynamic microphone will pick up EMF. Okay? EVP, I should say. Electronic voice phenomenon. So the condenser will not pick that up. Okay? It'll pick up a voice or audio voice phenomena of something in the thing talking. Maybe somehow it's manipulating the molecules and saying get out, because it doesn't have a voice box and it doesn't have lips to form the word or whatever. So it's using the atmosphere in the room to vibrate and make that sound what you hear, say get out.
Bill,
if you listen a lot of yes.
Sorry, but when people hear these things, often this whole phenomenon is associated with a drop in temperature, either that is either by the person or by everybody in the room. Have you ever experienced, and do you have thermal, yes, you did say you had infrared video, so have you ever experienced or received anything like that, or recorded anything like that?
I checked that. I have a Fahrenheit temperature to test the temperature in the room, right? Usually if a paranormal thing is going to go on, something is going on in there, usually it's a portal opens up and causes the temperature to drop. 5 degrees, 6 degrees, something like that. So if you get a thermometer, Fahrenheit thermometer, you can check the temperature. If you see it fall 4 or 5 degrees, that means a portal is opening up. Okay? Also, the barometric pressure will fall. I also have something to test for the barometric pressure. So that will fall 5 or 6 too, down. So we'll say if it's 760, yeah, the pressure that you're in. All of a sudden it falls 755. Okay? That means the portal's opening too. So you're gonna have temperature fall, you're gonna have barometric pressure fall, okay? You're gonna have EMFs, electromagnetic fields go way up because of the portal opening up. Causes a lot of electromagnetic fields to go way up. You'll see that shoot way up on your needle or on your digital recorder. I mean, the digital meter. It'll shoot way up. So you got three things you can test for in the house for a portal: the temperature falling, the pressure falling, and EMFs spiking. Going, say, from 0.8 to, say, 150 milligauss. Now you know. Of course, when that portal closes, the temperature will go back up to normal, the pressure will go back up to normal, and your EMF that you recorded or seen on your meter will drop down to where it was before, 0.8, from 150 milligauss. Then you'll know the portal's gone after two. That's another way you can test to see if it's gone. What you need is three people, of course. You need one with the Fahrenheit thermometer, you need one with a barometric pressure and one with an EMF meter, so you don't have to do them all yourself, so each one can, you know, check it and see. That's better than trying to look at all the instruments yourself at once. You know, if you got 3-4 people, you all can check. You have a spike. I don't know if you know what ions, you know what ions are, right? You got positive and negative ions.
Yep.
In the air. Okay, so what you're going to have, you're going to have a spike in ions too. I have an ion meter, which I can test for, either positive or negative. And it might go from 800 parts per million to 8,000, 10,000 parts per million of ions. That's another thing when a portal opens up. It gives off a lot of positive and negative ions in the atmosphere. You get more negative now than positive. Now, if you checked in your house now for ions, you would see you got more positive and negative ions. Negative ions are good for you. Positives aren't. I don't know if you ever go to the beach and you feel that, you breathe the air and you feel that nice, or you feel great, and you smell the beach, the waves. Well, when that wave crashes, it's giving off a lot of negative ions. And that's what you're breathing in, and you feel great. Or you've been out in a rainstorm after, and you feel, you know, invigorated after you go out after a rainstorm. Rainstorm causes more negative than positive ions. So you feel wonderful when you go out after the rainstorm outside. So, yeah. So you're gonna get a lot of ions way up. Doesn't matter. If it goes, it has to go from like, say, 60 to 8,000, something like that. That's when you actually know when, you know. And you don't have to have the ions precisely, you know, within 15 or 20. Long as you know it's going from 80 to 100 to, with, you know, 10,000, 20,000 ions, you know that you got a portal opening up. And there's other things I won't talk about, but that portal will cause other things to happen, like a time dilation. It causes gravity. Gravity fields all around you, three axes, not just from the earth, from the bottom. It'll cause three axes on top, on your head, on your sides. You will feel gravity, you feel heavy, caused from that portal opening up, causing that. Yeah. You might get 20, 30 different things caused from that portal opening up, including what I just discussed.
Okay, so what indeed causes the portal to open up near you? And is this...
The haunting. The haunting is causing portal, okay? The haunting is causing that portal open up in that house. Okay. It's not just a ghost or something. It could be. But mostly, the haunting is caused from that portal opening up, causing all these effects. People feel wind on their face. They feel the cold spot, right? They feel heavy. A lot of them say, I feel heavy. Yeah, because it's creating a gravity field around you and causing you to feel heavier. So that's why you feel heavy. You know, these effects are you really feeling. You know, this is not just hallucinating, thinking there's a cold spot there, or there's a wind blowing by you. That portal is causing all that to happen around you. So this is really happening in real time. And the people don't realize it. They think it's a ghost. They say, the ghost is causing the temperature to fall. No, it's that portal. The portal is causing the haunting. Not the ghost.
How do you prevent portals from hurting us? That's a good thing, because obviously they're a natural phenomenon. Right. And apparently since 2012, the sun has been squirting out millions of these nano portals. Has that corresponded with your experience in the last few years?
The portals are caused from the fabric of space-time. It's warping space-time, causing ripples, because something happened in the house or whatever. Could be a death, murder, suicide. And it's caused a ripple in space-time and causing that portal to open up. Because if it didn't, every house would have a portal in it. They find these portals mostly in haunted places. Okay? They open up, stay there for a little while, 3 or 4 minutes, and then disappear. They also give off high gamma rays, too, by the way. They have high gamma rays causing 350 millirads coming off the gamma rays from that portal opening it up. So if you get too much radiation, of course it'll kill you. So another thing most people don't know about gamma rays caused from that portal opening up. And of course you have to have a Geiger counter or something like that to test for radiation. Like my radiation meter can test for all of it. Alpha, beta, gamma, and X-rays too. So if I have my meter on and I see it, shoot way up, I know there's a portal there causing the gamma rays. It's not the back. Usually we have back room. In the back we have gamma rays. But it's in the back. And it's only 3 or 4, which won't harm you. But when it spikes, goes way up to 350 millirads, that's a portal causing that. And of course, as soon as that portal closes or moves on to another room, the gamma rays will fall down. You'll see it on your meter quickly. You got to have these meters and stuff to measure all this stuff in it. So that's another thing for people to understand, especially paranormal investigators, that if your portal opens up, you're going to get all these effects causing the haunting. As soon as that portal closes up or moves on, everything goes back to normal. You're no more wind, you don't feel any cold spot, you don't feel heavy anymore. All these phenomena will go away as soon as that portal disappears. And usually it comes back at a certain... Well, it doesn't come back at a certain time, like residual haunting. Usually a residual haunting, the person comes at 3 o'clock, walks through the house, disappears. The next day it comes back at the same time. It repeats itself like over and over, like a film. that you're playing over and over again. And at 3 o'clock, it does it. And that's another thing. If you're going to investigate something haunting, whether it's supposed to be a ghost or an entity or something, and they see it at, say, 3 in the afternoon, now why would you want to go investigate 3 in the morning? Because it's dark. You know, you want to investigate at 3 in the afternoon when that person saw it, not at 3 in the morning. So you want to go at 3 in the afternoon and check it. Put your cameras up and all that for three and see if you can catch it walking through the house or whatever, and record the film and see if it's on there. Then you can put it on your computer and play it back. Also, I forgot to mention, on the voice recorder, they have different software you can use so you can see the voice going across. You know, the frequency? You will see the voice going across it, too. And I don't know if a lot of people don't know how to use the software for that, but they got WavePad. There's a few that the learning curve is harder. The more technical the software is, the harder it is. A WavePad is one of the ones that are not too hard to learn. It doesn't have a long learning curve. That you, what you do is you download the voices you got, EMF. If you got EMF voices on your dynamic microphone, on your voice recorder, you download it on your computer, and then you see it, the waveform going across. You can see the waveform as it goes across your screen. And you can do certain things to it. You can make it louder, you know, change this, change that on it. Like a lot of stuff that you can experiment with on it. So you can do that too with different software for voice recordings, for voice, EVPs or whatever. So that's another thing they should know. But you just have to play it back to your ear. You can play it back on your computer if you have the software to download what you caught on your voice recorder, and you'll be able to see it too. Hear it and see it. The waveform, the frequency of the voice going across. So that's another thing to keep in mind too. So that's another idea for everybody to think about. What kind of software you want to use. Now, they got WavePad. I use Audacity, which is even easier than WavePad. Audacity is free. You can get it on the internet and download it and use that. So you don't have to pay any money for Audacity. Audacity is free, freeware that you can get on the computer. Anybody can get it. So hopefully everybody will want to download that and play around with it. They got some voices. You can get voices like in a cemetery too. If you got dynamic, you get a dynamic microphone, stick it to your voice recorder, go in a cemetery, and just let it play for half an hour, and then play it back on your computer, on your software, and you can see if you caught anything in the cemetery. Some people catch something, some don't, but.
Ghost fishing.
Yeah, ghost fishing. Right. Cute.
So we've got about 6 minutes left here, Bill. So it's been fun talking talking toys, you know, because what you're talking about is stuff that is beyond the visible, beyond the perceptible, yet still there, distinctly measurable by our equipment. And therefore, really there. A real thing.
But it won't tell you if there's a ghost. It'll tell you if there's a portal. But if there's a ghost, something like that, it won't tell you that. None of these instruments are made to tell you, yeah, there's a ghost here. It won't tell you that. It'll tell you EMF, it'll tell you radiation, you know, stuff like that. And if all these things, like I said, happen, the temperature goes down, the barometric pressure goes down, you get radiation, EMFs go way up, you know, electromagnetic fields, you know, spike way up. That means you need more than 3 or 4 things to go up. Then you know there's a portal there. Okay? If only one of those things, register, that doesn't mean there's a portal there. You can't tell if there's a portal. But if all these things happen, the pressure goes down, temperature goes down, EMFs spike way up, that's how you actually use those 3 things, and you can tell there's a portal opening up. Because they're going to go right back to normal once that portal disappears inside the house. So that's another thing to keep. I mean, if they say this house is haunted, you go in all the instruments, and all of a sudden you see all this happens, you know there's a portal opening up causing all the hauntings. And you might hear, you might see things move, stuff like that, you know. Something float across the room, or across the floor. Something falls off the wall. Okay. That's the portal's causing that, because it's, all of a sudden you'll get probably infrasound coming through that, causing all these effects inside the room. So the person sees all this happening and wonder, what's the ghost doing this? You know, it's probably the portal causing it, not the ghost, so. But, ghosts can come through portals. Let me make that statement too. You can have something come through there, but you don't know what. It could be a ghost, could be a demonic entity, could be anything coming through that portal. But you can't check for. But you can check for the portal, but not something that's an entity or something like that. You must have heard of shadow people. Now, shadow people are real. Okay? This is not people's imagination because they see a shadow. Usually they're in places like sanitariums, asylums for the mentally ill, prisons that are closed up. Usually you find something like that, hospitals that are closed up. Usually you'll find the shadow people in there. They're all black. They're blacker than black. If you had pitch black, you could see them because they're blacker than the black. They move very quick across. Now, these entities are supposedly interdimensional beings, and they absorb the light instead of giving off light. Like we give off light, our DNA gives off light in the infrared spectrum. They can measure it with one of the light meters they have, they invented.
Well, this is how, when you walk past one of these lights, they switch themselves on. They're reading the amazing amount of light that's coming on off of you and transmitting, and then kind of reflecting with more light.
Well, that's the DNA. They're talking about the DNA. They can check the DNA and see that somehow the cells communicate through the DNA, through ultraviolet light.
Oh, yes. Well, I think it's 415 nanometers or something like that. Like I said, we're dead into frequencies around here.
But the Rhine Institute in America, the Rhine Institute is investigating the light from the DNA. They bought a $25,000 meter that checks and test. And they're checking mediums, they're checking karate experts, and one other type of person. Because what they do is when they put their hands closed or whatever, they give off like 20 or 30,000 of these light photons, as they call them. Well, the average person gives off maybe 3 or 4, or up to 10 maybe, 10 photons. They increased to 20,000-30,000 photons a second coming out of their hands. Now they can check for it. Before they, you know, the scientists thought they were crazy. There's nothing coming out of them. There's no such thing. But now we got meters that will test it. So now we can test the psychics, mediums, and the karate experts like Qigong masters and stuff like that, healers. We can check and see if they got. They got that, we can check and see. That's how we can see if they're real, too. They say they got this healing power. We will see the light photons coming out of their hands. The meter will pick it up and tell you that they are coming out. The 10, 20,000 a second coming out of their fingers or whatever. Most of them don't even have to touch the person. Just come close to the skin and cause the healing to happen.
So,
I know. Yeah.
You've no what? Sorry.
And they've checked with the Qigong masters from China, and they had like two petri dishes with bacteria in it, say in California, and they told the Qigong master to kill one, use their energy through the waves, and destroy one of the bacteria and leave the other one alone. That's what he did. He sent his energy through time and space, if you want to call that, okay? And it went over and killed the bacteria in that plate. They've also been known to reverse cancer. Like a person has fourth stage of cancer, usually they only have like 3 weeks to live or something. A Kung Fu master will put his hands over it and change the cells to normal. just by putting his hands over it.
Okay, so this comes back to this is a one of David Wilcock's what he calls a data point, which is that there is a frequency that the DNA cells the DNA in our cells communicate with other DNA in other cells through the use of this specific frequency of photonic
ultraviolet light.
Of ultraviolet light, right? That is something like 415 or 435. I've actually got an LED torch that does that frequency. And so far I can use it for identifying banknotes. Anyway, meanwhile, and what they found is that when people are ill, that this frequency is changed. This frequency is you know, a subharmonic will be created by the toxin, and right. Toxins stop the thing from it kind of masks the light, so it changes the color of it, which is changing the frequency of it. So,
that's what happened to a person who had that.
Okay, so can these machines also measure the frequency of the photons that are coming out of the person's hand? Because I would venture to suggest that the photons are modulated with the specific frequency that the person needs.
I'm sure they can measure that with an audio frequency meter. That will test that. Yeah, they have a meter that will test that. It's audio. It's what they call an audio spectrum analyzer. It'll check the frequency.
Oh yes, I'm familiar with the spectral analyzer. Yeah, because
spectrum analyzer will check the frequency and tell you the frequency of those photons. Now the meter tells you how many photons. It doesn't tell you the frequency. It tells you how many photons, or light photons, are coming out of their hands. It doesn't tell you the frequency. But you can measure it with the audio spectrum analyzer. It'll tell you the frequency of these photons coming out. So you can analyze that too. An oscilloscope can do the same thing. We'll show you the frequency of the light, of the ultraviolet. Now this isn't just any light, it's the ultraviolet. It's in the ultraviolet spectrum.
That's right, we can't see it. It's beyond our visibility.
Right, it's not infrared, it's not, you know, violet.
I mean, it's beyond blue, which is why they call it ultraviolet. I believe that one day we'll be able to see ultra blue, ultra green, and ultra red, which are the next, what we call UVA, UVB, and UVC. And it's the ultra blue, the UVC, that is the thing that can kill anything in its path.
JP, let me tell you this. Most people don't know this, okay? Now, we can't see in infrared, we cannot see and ultraviolet. All right, they cheat a little when they make these instruments. We cannot actually really see in infrared, which is heat, or ultraviolet. Bees can see in ultraviolet. So what they do is they take three colors out, and they put one, they cheat a little, they put one color in there, back in there. And you need three colors to make all the colors. What they use is the green. They put the green back in there. Because we actually cannot really see an ultraviolet or infrared. We have to cheat a little. So they put green. All right? Our receptors in our eyes are most receptive to green color. So that's why they put the green. They don't put the red or the yellow back in. They put the green in. Because our receptors in our eyes are mostly to green. Okay? And if you watch these, you're going to probably never watch them. Other people that are listening, they watch the shows on TV. And they see them in green. That's why they use the infrared in green. That's why you see them, their eyes light up and stuff, because they're using the green color in the infrared. Because our eyes pick up green better.
And with that, Bill,
the other color.
Yes. We're out of time. We have a hard one.
Okay,
so,
JP.
Thanks for having me on.
It's been great. Discussing this with your audience.
It's been great fun. Thank you very much, Bill. Yes. We'll talk with Weird Toys. This is great. Have a great week. Good night.
Okay, JP. Have a good night.
Beyond. Frank Jordan's Earth Mind.